We'll bring you the March 9, 2012 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report, available as an audio file on Twitter at twitter.com/therainreport. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. For more than 35,000 hams and hundreds of U.S. radio clubs, Field Day is the most memorable and, yes, fun 24 hours of the year, the fourth weekend of June. This week we continue our multi-part rain report viewing Field Day from different angles. This time we'll hear from two people. The first is Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, ARRL Vice Director for the Southeast Division.
Hi, I'm Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM. I guess I'll start with kind of sharing a story about how I got involved in ham radio, and I promise it's related to Field Day, so I'll get to the point eventually. So my dad, Scott Hartledge, KF4PWI, came home one day with a Radio Shack scanner, and he had just learned about ham radio and was looking into getting his license and showing me his scanner, and he's like, I can listen to the police on this, I can listen to EMS, I can listen to the firefighters. And I was 8 years old at the time and big into Rescue 911, and I thought everything to do with emergencies and helping people was pretty cool. So I'm like, that's awesome, Dad. You can listen to the police on there. That's really cool. And then he changed it to the ham bands and said, but I really like to listen to these guys. They're called hams. So I heard a bunch of guys talking about everyday stuff. And I was like, Dad, why would you want to listen to that when you can listen to the police? So I just did not understand. He took me to Hamfest with him and kind of tried to get me involved here and there. And I was like, okay, Dad, whatever. You know, this is kind of your thing. And then one day he was like, Andrew, let's go to Field Day. And once again, I was kind of reluctantly drugged to Field Day. I was like, all right, fine, we'll go. He was like, we only have to stay for 20 minutes. I just want to go check it out. It's going to be really cool. I'm like, all right, Dad, we'll go. I guess I was 11 by this point. So he'd been trying to get me involved for a few years. So he takes me to Field Day. We had several different birthday parties or something that day, so I knew I wouldn't have to go for very long and that I could get out after 20 minutes or so and wouldn't be stuck there. So we get there. A local club member is walking around on stilts. I think he might have been dressed kind of as a clown, wearing stilts and everything. So I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, people are over here putting up antennas in the trees, but as an 11-year-old girl, I was like, I didn't care about the antennas, but the guy on stilts I thought was really cool. Then I got to learn the whole phonetic alphabet, and I memorized it and got a prize for memorizing it. And I think I learned a little bit about Morse code. So the next thing I know, my dad's telling me, all right, Andrew, it's time to go. We have that birthday party to go to. I'm like, Dad, I don't want to go to the birthday party. I'm having fun here at Field Day. I finally talk him into coming back at like midnight that night, which apparently was our next free moment that day. So I drag him there at midnight that night. There's midnight snacks, so I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, I'm 11 years old, so staying up all night is a pretty cool concept as well. I sit down at the HF radio, and they teach me how to make contacts, and I made 5 HF contacts. And another ham had been working with me. My dad was a technician at the time, so he hadn't done much HF. And so after the other ham had been working with me for a while, he left, and my dad came and sat down next to me and put on the headphones, and I'm spinning through the dial making contact. I go to call a station, and my dad's like, Andrea, he's too scratchy. You can't get him. And I look at him, and I'm like, Dad, that's what HF sounds like. It all sounds like that. And then I went and studied, and 18 days after that Field Day, I had my technician license. So what I was hoping to demonstrate with that story is that it was kind of a non-traditional hook that got me into Field Day. You know, it wasn't the antennas, it wasn't the radios, it wasn't learning about how radio waves worked initially. It was a guy walking around on stilts dressed like a clown, and the fact that I got prizes and got to stay up all night and got to have a midnight snack. So I think it's an important thing to realize when we're trying to get young people involved in ham radio is that we always have to be adapting to today's lifestyle and what youth today are into. So it may not be the same way. A guy on stilts may not do it today. Whatever got you into ham radio may not do it for today's youth. So it's definitely something that's evolving and changing and that we constantly have to adapt to. So I just encourage you to be open-minded when trying to think of ways to get young people and to not be discouraged if what you try doesn't work the first time, because it's definitely something that's always changing and evolving. I guess some tips and tricks I've learned over the years at trying to work with youth. One thing is definitely to treat them as equals, you know, make them feel a part of the community, whatever it is, field day, a public service event, whatever it is, to make them feel like they belong there and that they're not just being treated as like a little kid. Even today, at this age, I've gone to field days and walked up and they see me and look at me and they say, oh, we got a GOTA station over here for you. I'm like, you know, I'm an extra. I can operate 40 meters if you like. It's just being mindful, especially when you have licensed youth who are very capable and able to operate and get some pileups going and really score you some points, actually, to make sure to give them a chance. And, you know, nothing against GOTA. Certainly get them on the GOTA station, but maybe not point out, you know, this is the GOTA station for people who are brand new here. So just keeping those things in mind is one thing. So treating them as equals. Another thing is just to acknowledge and think about what we're competing with. We've got people who spend billions of dollars on advertising. Two kids, you've got video games, you've got iPods, you've got Facebook, you've got a million different things, spending lots and lots of money to attract the attention of youth. And basically, we're trying to do the same thing. We're trying to get their time. We're trying to get their attention in ham radio. We all know it's a worthwhile cause and why we got into it and why it's so awesome. But sometimes it can be really difficult to sell that using a very limited and maybe no budget when we're competing with companies who are doing this for profit. So we do have to get creative. We try to make everything colorful. So we have all the character tablecloths and things that kids really like. We don't print anything on white paper. We print everything on colored paper. We have prizes. So the first year we did the youth lounge, kids would come and they would do an activity and they'd be like, all right, I did that. What's next? And they wouldn't really finish it. You know, they kind of half do an activity and be like, all right, what's next? All right, what's next? And so that entertains them for all of 20 minutes and they've been through all of your activities. We came up with a point system, and so it's like going to a video arcade, and if you complete this activity completely and someone signs off on it, you get 20 points, and then you can go pick out your prize when you get however many points. And you'd really be amazed at what kids will do for a little slimy man that they throw and will stick on the wall. They'll do every activity if you put that in the 100-point bin. So I think it's just being creative, being adaptive, and making sure not to bore them, and just being mindful that what we were interested in and what we are interested in, it might not be what hooks them. So I guess those are my main points. And also encouraging questions. I remember as a young ham, there were times where I would ask how something worked, or someone would say, oh, you know what that is, right? And I'd say no, and they'd be like, well, it was on your technician exam. You know, why don't you know it? So, of course, that discouraged me from asking questions in the future. So I definitely encourage you to encourage questions and not assume that they know any. It's a delicate balance between giving them credit and not assuming that they know something. So you kind of have to walk that line, and it's a delicate balance. But just encouraging questions, and when they ask questions, welcome them and not say, you know, well, you really should know this. Good luck, and I hope there's lots of youth having fun at your field days.
You're listening to another installment of Field Day 101, multiple looks at ham radio's biggest day of the year, Field Day. We just heard from the ARRL Southeast Division Vice Director, Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, talking about the role young hams can play in Field Day and the importance of getting them involved. In a moment, we'll hear from Mark Tarpley, and for UFP, ARRL South Carolina Section Manager, with his Field Day perspective. This is the Rain Report, now available as an audio attachment on Twitter at twitter.com/TheRainReport. We'll be right back.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Field Day and some of the fun aspects, some of the things you can do to make it more interesting, and some of my experiences as a section manager. I think the important thing about Field Day, it's about involvement. It's a chance to get people on the air. You know, we sometimes lose sight of that fact. You know, we say, well, you know, we're going to get on, we're going to make a few contacts. It's a great opportunity to involve people who might not otherwise be involved. Could be new members. It could be maybe a club where you have some members that haven't been active in a while. This is a great way to pull them back in, give them something exciting to get involved in. And unlike contesting, and I do some contesting too, I'm a manic VHF contester. Unlike contesting, Field Day really is fun. There's not the pressure, it's not quite as competitive, and it's a chance to pick up some operating skills, and even if you're a good operator, your skills can always get better. And in a contest environment, it's hard to do that. I had an experience. There's a couple of contest clubs in Charlotte, North Carolina, near where I live, and I was interested in doing a little CW contest thing. I called one of the guys and said, hey, I'd like to hook up with you guys the next time you contest. He says, great. He said, what we're looking for, copy 40 words a minute in your head or maybe to a keyboard. And he said, if you can copy two at once, two conversations at once, that'd be even better. And I said, thanks, I'll get back to you. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. But field day is a lot more casual, so it's fun. And I think my predecessor says it really well. It's not just about the operating. It's about all the other things that happen, and it's a chance to get people involved in a very non-threatening, very casual way where they kind of will take notice and say, wow, what are you doing? And it may not have anything to do with the radios. I'll talk about that in a minute. I'll talk about a field day event we had right here in the Buckeye State that was the great field day and catfish competition up outside of Upper Sandusky, Ohio. At the end of the day, this is how it works. Organizations don't do anything. All the technology in the world doesn't do anything. It's people. And that's really what Field Day is about. It's a chance to get people out. It's a chance to do something. And, you know, Mike's going to talk a little later about the MCOM piece of it. And it's interesting. In order to be successful in MCOM, you got to be able to plan and you have to be able to execute. One of the ways a group can develop some of those skills is planning and executing field day. Because I don't know if any of you have ever been a field day chairman. I have a couple of times, and I have no hair and a nervous tick now. There's more to it than you think. It's like everything else, never as simple as it seems. Field day is also a great opportunity to educate people. I work in the education business. We talk about the teachable moment. It's not always the one in the classroom. And the thing is, when that moment comes, that's the moment when you can show somebody something new, and it clicks for them. And that's one of the neat things about Field Day. You can stretch people's ham radio horizons a little bit. If you look at the pictures, the one in the very top right-hand corner, it's hard to tell, but there's a 6-meter Moxen on a little push-up TV mast. We built that before Field Day. That was Field Day 2005 down in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And several of the members of the club wanted to know why we were wasting any time on 6 meters. Because y'all know there ain't nothing on 6 meters. They explained that to me in great detail. We were very lucky. About 2:30 that afternoon, we had a single hop sporadic E open into the Midwest. And it was great because one of my detractors, a fellow who'd been licensed a long time and knew there was no VHF activity, he happened to be at the radio. And he got to make about probably 25 contacts into 8 and 9 land. That sold him. I think, in fact, he took the beam home with him, and it wound up in his backyard somewhere. It's a great time to experiment with new antennas. If you have a club that has a lot of equipment, it's a chance to dust off some equipment that you haven't used in a while. It's also a chance to try new modes. Maybe you've got some folks that haven't ever worked with PSK31 or RIDI or any of the other digital modes. This is a chance to introduce them to it, and it's a lot of fun as well. You also may wind up operating in some very unusual locations. That very odd picture at the bottom was taken at night. That's me out in the middle of a field near a farm outside of Upper Sandusky, Ohio. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. Those lights, somebody threw wads of Christmas lights up in the tree, and we hooked it up to an inverter and got some light. I ran CW for about 6 hours that night. It was kind of fun. Definitely not the normal field day kind of location I was used to. But it was still a good time, and I think that's still yet another aspect of what makes field day fun. You go somewhere that you haven't been before. In our case, this field day operation, it was over 500 miles from where our club is located in Rock Hill. In fact, what happened, my wife is a ham, W7LEE, and her sister and brother-in-law, and they live on a farm in Ohio, they got interested in ham radio, got their licenses. They live in a very rural part of Ohio, not a lot of organized club activity, not a lot of people to Elmerum. My sister-in-law called my wife and said, you know, I heard about Field Day. Would you guys mind coming up to Ohio, your local club? Would you send a few people? We'd like to operate. So the York County contesters took 4 people up to Ohio. We threw all this stuff in my truck, and we went up and ran a 1-alpha operation with batteries sitting under a maple tree outside their farm. These are 2 people that never had a chance to get on HF. They loved it. It was interesting because it took 2 people who might not have ever gotten on HF. They might have been pretty much VHF ops and used 2 meters and 4-4 and the other things. And this introduced them to a whole new area of ham radio. At the end of the day, Field Day is supposed to be fun. Dan said that several times. I'll probably say it a few more times. I talked about catfish. When we went to Ohio, there's a pond on the farm, and they had an outbreak of catfish. And my sister-in-law said, we really need to do something about all the catfish. There's just no end to it. So we combined Field Day with fishing. The folks who weren't operating, They grabbed a pole, and that particular year, we didn't work all the sections, but we worked all 50 states, and we caught 32 catfish. I think the biggest one was about 7.5 pounds, and at the end of the day, that's what it has to be about. It has to be fun, it has to be interesting, and it has to be about involving people. It really isn't about the equipment, it's not about the antennas. At the end of the day, it's all about the folks. As section manager in South Carolina, I try to do a couple of things to engage people during field day. I do visit field day sites. I'm very fortunate. South Carolina is not a large state, and I also have the vice director living at the other end of the state, Dr. Jim Boner, N2ZZ. So we split the state up between us, and we go around and visit field day sites. And the idea is to talk to people, see what they're doing, and, of course, spread the message of what the league does and how the field service organization is there to help them. And that's a message that you can't get out often enough. And this year I've added something different to it. I've decided to add something a little bit competitive. I'm giving out a copy of the antenna handbook to the field day site in South Carolina that comes up with the most unusual antenna. It has to work. I mean, I don't want to see a coat hanger or something like that. And I'll be very interested to see what comes up. A lot of the sites I'll visit, so I'll get some firsthand knowledge of the antennas, but people can also email photographs. And the other thing is the most unusual operating location. I'll give somebody a copy of the 2011 handbook for the group that goes to the most unusual location. I've seen people do some interesting things. I saw a group that operated on top of an old mill. They wanted to get off the ground. They managed to find that it was an old textile mill that was structurally sound, and they actually did quite well on the high bands, on 6 and 2 meters. It was kind of interesting. You don't normally see that during field day. So I'm hoping to do something that makes it interesting for people, makes it kind of fun without making it too competitive or too threatening. And at the end of the day, we all lead by example. So what I try to do is stay engaged with the amateurs in my section and be visible and be helpful. And in turn, I expect that message to be carried along by them, too, because I think if you want people to do something, you have to do it first. And then they see it and they follow.
And that concludes our second installment of our Field Day 101 series. This week we heard from Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, ARRL Southeast Division Vice Director, and Mark Tarpley, N4UFP, ARRL South Carolina Section Manager. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from all of us at the Radio